It seems investigating murders in South Carolina's Lowcountry is really turning into a thing. That's why we've created another podcast focusing specifically on the murder of Stephen Smith. We, of course, have continuing coverage for you on the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. But if you want a channel exclusively dedicated to the coverage of the investigation and finding justice for Stephen Smith, be sure to search and press subscribe to The Murder of Stephen Smith. Search that wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe as we bring you daily coverage of the investigation into the murder of Stephen Smith and the quest for justice. Search The Murder of Stephen Smith wherever you get podcasts. Hope you're having a great weekend. This is our week in review, a look back at some of the most compelling stories we've covered for you in the last 7 days. Brand new episodes back Monday, right here.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Talking still with Lauren Mathias of Hidden, a true crime podcast, about the Daybell case. Lauren's going to be our on-the-ground correspondent for the Daybell trial, for the Lori Daybell trial coming up here in a few weeks. Lauren, I want to ask you this, and if you have not listened to the first part of our conversation, everybody, please do check that out here on the feed. I have to wonder, with what you've seen, having attended some of those conferences that Chad would be at and such, and the more extreme sects of this belief, are there still people out there who, despite everything, still believe in the teachings or the belief or the claims of Chad Daybell?
You know, I interviewed one of Chad's good friends who had his same belief system, who fully believed in Chad and his visions and his dreams. So much so that, yes, he was even excommunicated from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for his beliefs in these multiple probations or this idea of reincarnation.
Yeah.
And the way he wraps his mind around it, his name is Eric Smith. His interview is on our YouTube channel. And the way he explains it is Satan got a hold of Chad. He invited lust into his beliefs and murder. But you cannot deny that Chad had the gifts he did and that he could see beyond the veil and discern who was light and who was dark. So it's sort of, to me, and I heard Eric out, but to me, that's sort of mental gymnastics.
Yeah.
You know, here is this man who did some really evil, horrendous things. We're talking child murder. And yet we'll say that he did these bad things and, you know, some darkness came into him and he took it too far because he let lust in. But he did have these gifts, you know. So in that sense, yes, yeah. Eric said to me, you cannot deny that Chad has these gifts to see beyond the veil. He was still saying that well after the children's bodies were found in his yard.
Wow. It's another question that I have about all of this as we get closer and closer to Lori's trial date here. Where do you think these two sit in terms of their belief system today? Are they still just as dug in as they've ever been? Or is some of this starting to crack up, starting to break as they are really realizing how much they are being prosecuted by the government for murder?
It's a great question. You ask a great question. And I think that's what's going to make this trial so fascinating, too. Are we going to actually see some cracks happen during the trial? From what I've heard from multiple inside sources, Lori Vallow Daybell still believes in Chad and his visions and still believes strongly in her belief system and that she even saw Jesus Christ. As far as Chad goes, from what I'm hearing, he still doesn't completely understand why he's behind bars. But I don't believe that he is thinking that Lori is the goddess he claimed to say she was. I think he's more likely to turn on her right now than she is on him, which I think with the severance in their trials definitely gives him the upper hand.
Sure.
You know, it would be nice if she could see him testifying and saying, you know, or it wouldn't be nice, excuse me. I think we'd more likely see cracks if he testifies or he saw that he was going to throw her under the bus, because from what I can tell, he's ready to throw her under the bus. And I don't know if Lori's ready to throw him under the bus.
Sure. Do they, I mean, it's just your opinion, but do they understand that they killed their children, or, and if they do they still view that as they did the right thing? It was because they were killing zombies, while the rest of the world views it as murder, which it is. Are they still thinking, well, yes, but we had to do it. There was no choice. This was our mission, our duty, as the people that they were in their belief system.
Yeah. So I can't answer for Chad. I've wondered this same thing with Chad, and I think he might be blaming Lori as well as Alex Cox, who is now deceased.
Yeah.
And it looks like that. What's interesting about this case too, is it looks like the person that might have done the actual killing was Alex, who died.
Yeah.
So this isn't necessarily a who did it case. It's, you know, whose belief system called for this? You know, who said that the children needed to die?
Yeah.
I think they're both responsible for that. But when it comes to Lori, I think that's going to be a really interesting thing to see on the stand, because I do think she thinks still that it needed to happen. Don't quote me on that. Yeah. I've never talked to Lori. I don't know how she says it or what she says. You know, they recently came out with her alibi, and it's quite interesting because she seems to state that, she says that she was with her friend Melanie Gibb, her friend David Warwick, and possibly Chad, while both Tylee and JJ were at her brother's townhouse when they died. So thus, she was not there. But that doesn't really make sense either, because from all the evidence we've seen, JJ and Tylee died weeks apart.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing what she thinks, and that does beg the question, does she even understand what happened to her children? I mean, when Tylee's body was found, it was horrendous. She had been dismembered and burned. I mean, pieces of her were in a melted bucket.
Yeah.
I don't know if Lori is fully grasping what even happened to her own children. I know she knows, it seems like she knows they're dead.
Yeah.
This is something I can tell you. So my husband, John, was on the Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
As a psychologist, and he spent a good amount of time with Lori's remaining son, Colby, living son Colby, and Colby calls Lori during the documentary, and John heard these calls too, while he was with Colby. You know, they played them for John too. And it was amazing. Colby was saying, "You killed my siblings. How could you do this to me?" And she would say, no, one day you'll understand. It's not what you think. There does seem to still be a disconnect. You know, I don't know what she's thinking.
Those were chilling calls. I remember hearing them and just going, this woman still doesn't get it. And with all that being said, this trial is coming up. She's been deemed incompetent twice now, I believe. In your opinion, is she competent to stand trial? I mean, by judging, I don't know what the standards are with law to consider someone incompetent, but I don't think she's all there. What's your thoughts?
I can't answer. I don't feel like I can say whether I believe she's incompetent or not. She's been deemed competent to stand trial, so I'll respect that. I'm talking for myself and me only, not even for our podcast, Hidden True Crime. This is just me, Lauren, talking. She does seem to be mentally ill to me. That doesn't necessarily mean she's not competent.
Sure.
But I guess the question is, at what point do extreme beliefs become mental illness?
Yeah.
I don't know, because your basic religious person isn't necessarily deemed mentally ill. So I think that's the ultimate question right there is.
Yeah.
Is she just really, really religious and in denial, or is she mentally ill? Or is she, you know, some people think she's completely faking it, you know, and doesn't believe anything. I do believe that she believed wholeheartedly in Chad Daybell's belief system. And I do think it was his belief system that she followed.
Yeah, I think she did too. I think she still subscribes to it. And it's going to be fascinating seeing this trial.
Yeah, but I'm not excusing her in any way saying that.
No.
May justice be served. Two children and two adults have lost their lives. And there are so many victims because of Lori and Chad. So I'm not excusing anyone in any way here.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Laura Mathias, thank you for joining us of Hidden, a true crime podcast. He's also going to be with us in the coming weeks, every single day, covering the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell on the ground in Idaho, reporting to us on the happenings from inside the court as she is there. Excited to get that one-on-one inside look at what is about to go down with this case. My name is Tony Bruschi. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our breaking updates or discussions on the cases that we're following for you right here. Stay with us.